Emily.
I'm Claire.
And welcome back to the Super Sapphic Film Club. The podcast. It's a podcast. I should literally just write a script. This is ridiculous.
It's off the cuff.
Every
it's
week
improv.
I do this.
It's rich and it's new.
It's jazz. It's freeform.
Yeah. It's scatting. Scooby bop bop bop.
Every week we watch a different woman love woman / non-binary love woman film from the canon that we made up. That's in an air table.
Hell yeah, it is.
You can find our movie list on our card, which is in our bios. Yeah. So many movies on there. Go find a gay movie.
So many. Go find a gay movie. Not this one, but some other one.
Yeah. Go get yourself a gay movie on us.
Yeah. It is not on us.
No, we've done nothing. But yeah, we also have a Patreon where you can get our monthly bonus episodes. January's bonus episode. December's bonus episode was us talking about Shadow and Bone, and January is Promising Young Woman.
Yes, I can't wait to argue about it.
we talk about things that fall out of the scope of this podcast. But if all you do is listen, we love that too.
Oh yeah,
Claire, what did we watch this week?
Unfortunately, we watched Nina's Heavenly Delights. I have to say, I don't know when and I don't know how, but one day I'm going to make you pay for this.
Oh, no. This is the one. This is the one that pushed you over the edge. Oh, my God.
Yes. I will lead by saying if you love this movie and it's your favorite, maybe just don't listen to this one because I'm going to try my best, but it's not a good movie. There should be movies about South Asian people, South Asian queer people. There should be many of them.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
There should definitely be more of them.
Yeah. You guys deserve better
this
movies.
This one's bad as fuck, though. So it's just bad. What did you think?
I said. Yeah. This was barely a movie.
Yes.
It really felt like an adult, early Disney Channel original movie, where it's just the cheapest television movie that is just going through the motions at every stage.
Yes.
And there were times where I was actually pretty charmed by it. I'm not gonna lie, there were times where it was so bad that I was like, oh my God, this is insane. You know, it felt
bad. Yeah.
There are points where I felt like I was watching almost an early Mary-Kate and Ashley movie. Where it's just
oh, I see what you mean by that. Yes.
The early 2000s, the nonsense, the just. Okay, let's just do a brief plot.
Love that. Oh my God. For once, I don't have a plot.
That's okay. I'm looking at Wikipedia right now.
Oh my God. Hell yeah. She's ready. She's prepared.
So young Glaswegian cook Nina Shaw, played by Shelley Kahn, who, by the way, is the
mom in the Bridgerton
season you made me watch.
Yes.
Hot.
Incredible.
Hot. Amazing. Beautiful.
Yes, so hot. God. And she plays the mom to the most beautiful woman of all time, whose name I forget, but who plays Kate Sharma, the main love interest woman of season 2 of Bridgerton.
She's like a Disney princess. It's crazy.
Oh, my God. She literally was in The Little Mermaid as one of the sisters of, Ariel. So she is actually a Disney princess.
That's so great.
I know, right?
That's good. Okay, so Nina Shaw returns home for her father's funeral after 3 estranged years in London. As her family prepare to sell the restaurant to pay off the father's gambling debt, Nina discovers that her father also entered into the national Best in the West curry competition for a 3rd time. She decides to compete in the competition to try and win the money to keep ownership of the restaurant. That's it. That's the main thrust.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah. Also, she's gay.
Yeah. Which you could be forgiven for not noticing for the first hour of this movie, by the way.
Yeah. No, but what really threw me about, the breaking of reality in this is that it's, by the time it gets to the cooking competition, they just start shooting and editing the movie as if it is, the televised cooking competition.
Yes. Yes.
It was insane.
It was so weird. All of a sudden, the audio got worse. The audio quality got worse. You could hear, people breathing and stuff and, background noise. I was like, what is this?
They were trying to be realistic, and they'd play, the title card sting as if they were going to commercial, but then they would just go to, back to the movie where they'd, have the characters talk to each other.
Bizarre.
And then at the very end, they like, when everyone's dancing on that outro screen, which I thought was cute. I thought that was like a sweet nod to like Bollywood.
Yeah.
They do this thing where it's like they stop like projecting things on the green screen and they like pull out so you see the studio and everyone in it recording the movie.
Why?
Why?
Why
do it that? It was so, I don't like, I know I've said unmovie before, but like what was this?
I think it was a movie. It was just pretty dang bad.
Yeah. I actually kind of want to fight the editor.
Really?
It was just so weirdly cut, like, and it compounded the strange directorial and, like, acting choices.
Yeah.
I was shocked by the woman who played Lisa, who's the woman that Nina is in love with. Lisa's dad was the person who, like, somehow was involved with the bet.
He was going to buy the restaurant, which would give them money to pay off the debts, I think. No, he bet the restaurant. He bet half the restaurant as, like, collateral.
Yeah, but he, like, made the bet to Lisa's dad, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to be so real with you. I didn't understand that at all, because it also didn't sound like they were actually planning on keeping the restaurant, because, like winning the restaurant back in the Best of the West thing.
Yeah.
She was, like, actively telling Lisa, Nina was actively telling Lisa, like, if I win Best of the West, like, just don't sell the restaurant yet. Like, if I win the Best of the West competition, that'll, like, make the restaurant more valuable. And I was like, no, the fuck it wouldn't, though. Because you're not buying Nina's cooking.
No.
You're buying the restaurant building.
This building won a cooking competition.
Yeah. The food was cooked in this kitchen, except not the kind that won, because that was cooked in front of a live studio audience. So,
like,
what are you talking about?
It was actively very confusing and, like, somehow over-explained and not explained at all.
Like, I'm okay with, like, a thin plot or whatever, like, to justify a romance or a comedy or something. Like, whatever.
Yeah. We're here for fun.
But I literally didn't understand the mechanics as they were being explained to me.
Because, like, that's the thing, is, like, it was, like, the dad was dead, she was estranged, and they're, like, he bet the restaurant on a horse. And it's, like, okay, so he made the bet, but then, like, Lisa's dad was involved somehow. Like, he was the one who facilitated the bet. Like, does he own the racetrack? Like, what's there? And then, like, Raj, who owns the competing restaurant, the Jewel and the Crown, I think, they were going to buy the restaurant because, like, the original plan was that Nina was going to marry Sanjay, so the, like, two restaurants would be, like, a cooking power couple. But then it was, like, she was going to sell the restaurant at one point because she couldn't do cooking good. So she's, like, frick it. We're going to sell to the Jewel of the Crown. And then her and Sanjay get into, like, a pissing match, and she's, like, the competition's back on. And it's, like, are you doing this to save the restaurant, to honor your dad, or to piss off Sanjay? Because, like, I feel like they're supposed to be connected, but, like, you're making me do that work, and it wasn't clear.
Yes, yeah. And at first, her mom was like, Nina's mom was like, I can't believe after, you know, 3 years, you can just, like, barge back in here and try and decide what happens to the restaurant when you weren't here, like, these years ago. Such a valid point.
Yeah.
And then she's like, no, I'm just going to do it. And then she gets that, like, maybe I can't cook good, actually. And she goes to Sanjay, supposedly, to, like, make peace, be like, sorry, you can buy the restaurant now. But they, like, get into a pissing match, like you said. And then she's pissed off. So she's like, never mind, it's still on. And her mom is, like, looking proud, like, as she's like, you go, daughter, like, stand up for yourself, which is, like, not at all her entire opinion for the whole rest of the movie.
Yeah.
So I don't actually get it.
I don't either. The mom was, like, barely a character. She just, like, they gave her no levity. She was just, like, the ultimate tormented, put upon housewife.
It's true. I thought she was, like, kind of fun, though. Like, I thought she had, she,
in, like, a Bette Midler kind of way.
I honestly don't know Bette Midler enough to tell you, but you old queen, you. Sorry. I thought she was the only one making valid points in the entire movie. The mom was. She was like, your father put us in debt. We're selling the restaurant. And her daughter's like, but you can't. Yeah. I like the restaurant. And she's like, okay, well, you weren't here for 3 years and we have money problems.
Yeah.
So what do you fucking want me to do about it? It's like,
so what are we going to do?
And then that guy who was going to buy it might be like, never mind, I don't want to buy it. And then they would be in big trouble. So it's like, I felt soothed whenever she was like making valid points in this movie that made no sense. I was like, thank God the voice of reason is back.
But like, that's not the main. Okay, that's the other thing. This movie had two themes and I disliked both of them. Disliked the execution of both of them. Because one of them was the like opposition to the mom, where it's like the dad was always like, follow your heart, Nina. And, you know, her heart is telling her to not listen to her very reasonable mom who's left, who's widowed with gambling debts.
Yes, exactly.
And the other one was like this whole weird opposition between technicality and like chemistry. Where following your heart is when you find the chemistry, the perfect chemical balance in the food. Like there has to be chemistry. Like they used the word chemistry to like describe the like ineffable nature of a good meal. So like they're like, Sanjay, you're technically perfect, but your food lacks chemistry. And I feel like, why would you use two scientific words to create that opposition?
Thank you.
When I feel like the more obvious thing that also then directly ties into your other theme is like it lacks heart or love.
Yes.
Like exactly. The secret ingredient is love. Like,
yeah, thank you. That did honestly piss me off, too.
You know, it was it made it feel so much flimsier. And it's like the whole time it's like, I know what you're going for, but like, why would you do it like this?
Yeah, exactly. And the one time she says that is like, I think supposed to be like a veiled thing of like, that's why I left you at the altar, because she left Sanjay at the altar. Mm. Was like, your food is like technically perfect, but it lacks chemistry, like pointedly, like looking at him over the table. And I was like, I'll let you get away with that one. It's stupid, but I get it. And it's like a fun line or whatever. But they said it so many other times in this movie about how it's technically perfect, but it lacks chemistry. And it literally, I'm so sorry, it just doesn't actually make any sense.
No. And they had the announcers say that line when they announced that Nina won and Sanjay didn't.
Oh, did they really? Yeah. I'm going to be so real with you. I was so mad at the end of this movie that I honestly blacked out.
This movie should have been a romp, but it was just confusing.
Yes, and that was my thing too, is like, there's maybe three moments in this movie, and I wrote them down, and we'll tell you about them.
And they all had Bobby in it, I bet.
Bobby? Oh, he was great. Yeah.
The gay friend. His hair and makeup was so good. Like, except for that one terrible wig.
I love the outfits he was giving, too.
Yes.
They were great.
Yes.
I'm thinking the only good moments were on accident in this movie, in my opinion. Like, when it crossed that line from, like, so bad it's funny.
Yeah.
But there's literally like three of them, in my opinion. Yeah. And the rest of this movie just made me mad, except for how Bobby's outfits were good sometimes. And how beautiful the actress who played Nina is.
Oh, yeah. God, she's so beautiful. Gorgeous.
I could just like stare at her.
And it got me through this movie, honestly. No.
It did. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you, though. I was left in actively a bad mood when this movie was over. It ruined my night yesterday.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's not your fault.
You should have done what I did, which is just like watch it at 2 a.m. after having edited for 4 hours. And then you're just like tired enough to just kind of let it wash over you.
You're just bleary. Yeah.
Like I recreated the like watching infomercials at a sleepover vibe on accident.
Ooh, there you go. That's like as close to drunk watching as you're going to get right now to this movie.
I wish you hadn't told me that. I'm going to do that all the time now.
Just sleep deprived watching. I unfortunately was wide awake and dead sober while watching this movie and just mad the whole time. Yeah. Just mad.
Yeah. See, sometimes I wish that we could do like some sort of live stream because I couldn't have written it down because it was just too many to count. But I cannot emphasize that if you watch this movie and you don't pay attention to editing, start paying attention to editing because it is like shockingly confusing.
Love that.
Just in terms of like the pacing of the cuts and the way that there is no like, this movie has no pace. It's insane, actually.
I should have done that because then that would have been something to focus on. That sounds more fun than what I did, which was just watch this movie.
Waiting for it to be fun. Yeah. Like this movie was like genuinely 20% cooking montage. And it none of the montages were fun. Like it just, there was something about it, like directing or like the staging or something where it's like every time they were actors cooking, it looked like actors cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like honestly a little fanficky because for some reason, listen, I get that it's a gay romance, and like we have, but they didn't even give us a flimsy reason for why Lisa is living with the family.
Like, was she living with them?
It seems like she's staying with them.
I think she was just around all the time. That was what I thought, at least. But
maybe you're right.
This is another thing, though. Like, yeah. It would have been nice if, like, someone was like, don't you have your own fucking house to go back to, Lisa? And then we would know that she's just around all the time or something.
Yeah, exactly. But also, like, why was Lisa a part of the cooking competition? Like, they show us in one of the many cooking montages that Lisa doesn't cook. She doesn't cook Indian food. She learns how to cook. There's a scene where they do, like, a literal fanfic Hurt Comfort thing where she's cutting chili peppers and then rubs her eyes. And Nina has to be like, let me see. You'll live.
God almighty. It's true, though.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm getting going.
Tell me.
Two other things. They let the fake out of Lisa dating Nina's brother go on for way too long.
So long.
And the characters do things that actively don't make sense, given that Lisa is helping the brother, Carrie, cover up that he's married.
Yes.
What?
Exactly. Yes, here's what happens. Nina's brother, we think, is dating Lisa, and they hang out sometimes, but whatever. We go to a club.
Okay.
Do you want to tell?
They go on a date together when no one else is around.
Yes.
Why would they do
that? Why? Why do that?
Is your mom at the club, Carrie? Like, what's going on?
I don't understand. Yes, like, Carrie is Nina's brother. Carrie and Lisa are already at the club when Nina and Bobby and his boyfriend get to the club, and Lisa and Carrie are like dancing, and then this random redhead woman just runs like in front of Lisa and starts making out actively with Carrie. And you can see, like, in Lisa's face that she's, like, a little surprised but fine about it.
Yeah.
And then there's no immediate confrontation with Nina, which I thought was weird. Because if I saw my sibling, like, apparently cheating on their, like, a partner directly in front of me, I'd pull them aside and be like, what the fuck is going on?
What is going on? Instead, unclear amount of time later, Nina's like, hey, do you want to share a cab? To Carrie to go home.
She like taps him on the shoulder while he's mid makeout and is like, can we share a cab?
I know.
And not like, who is this woman?
No sense.
This is where it was funny sometimes. There's so many lines that are like, no human being would say that in this moment. Like, my favorite one was when Carrie actually is like, I've had enough of this secret. Mom, I'm actually married, and it's not even to Lisa. It's to some woman you've never heard of or met in your life. They do that apparently because Carrie's wife's dad is racist. But, like, why does that have to mean that you can't tell your mom that you're married? Just don't tell her dad if you don't feel like, you know, if they don't have a relationship or something.
Right.
But whatever. Sure. And then Carrie's like, but I'm married to her and I love her. And the mom is like quiet for a moment, having just learned that her son has been married for an unknown amount of time to a woman she's never met in her life. And she goes, I guess I have a lot to learn about love.
What
the fuck are you talking about?
What? On it, like, okay, actually, this movie was so strangely written. I tried to figure out if it was a play first.
Ooh, there you go.
And it wasn't. Which doesn't answer any of my questions.
Honestly, disappointing to hear, but also does make it worse somehow, this movie.
Like, it was overwritten in a way that, like, I would think that, like, it, to me, reads as a play.
Yeah, I can see that.
And also, like, there were just, like, some moments where they would try and do what they do in theater, where it's like they have their, like, we're standing right next to this person, but we're having our own side conversation. Which happens in theater,
just,
but like
pretending they can't hear.
Exactly. And also the like radio announcement that they would use to like transition.
So weird.
And like, it's fine. I think it could be interesting, like a little bit of color, whatever. But it's like they didn't have any footage to go with it. They weren't even like, oh, and the character is listening to it and reacting to it, or we're seeing a bit of the character while this is playing to like give us some, you know, information. It was just like stock footage of Glasgow playing for like a full minute as we listened to this guy talk. Like,
I mean, bizarre. What? Also, before I forget, they're in Glasgow, Scotland.
Yeah.
And she was unreachably estranged from her family in London, England. I have, like, no sympathy for that. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
It's an 8-hour train.
It's an 8-hour train. It's... Hold on.
And, like, a 2-hour flight.
It's a 7-hour drive.
Yeah. Okay. But, like, here's the crazy thing about people in the UK. If it's 2 hours away, it's a day trip to them.
I know this. This is true. That is a good point. Thank you. I should acknowledge that... Everyone in Europe is a fucking wimp about driving and distance.
Also, because people in the UK aren't European. Sorry.
Yeah, no, so true. I mean, perhaps literally not anymore. They're not in the European Union. <You know? laughs> But literally everyone in Europe, you know, being generous to include the UK.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't know why that's about the hill distance. I want to die on. That's my opinion that's going to get me canceled. I tried to explain this to my mom because I'm like, UK people aren't European. Like, they're just not. It's like people in Florida trying to say that they're Southern. Like, it's wrong.
It's just, like, I know it's technically true, but it's also not. So it's literally not true. I have to say, though, like, it's a 90-minute flight from Glasgow to London. You could get on a plane in Glasgow and not finish watching Nina's Heavenly Delights before you land in London. And also... That's like 400 miles away. You and I right now are 800 miles away from each other.
Yeah.
I have literally no sympathy.
It's actually, I mean, like, it's a little more understandable when you remember that people in the UK don't have phones or the internet.
So true. God, I keep forgetting that they'd never had the internet. God, they're like the Amish. We should visit sometime.
Stop.
I feel that's such a solvable problem, that, like, distance thing and, like, her estrangement or whatever. Because I know they, like, left on bad terms because she fled her wedding and then I'm pretty sure just went to London, like, without a word to her family. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, understandable that there would be some tension or whatever.
Yeah.
But they act like she was completely unreachable. They had no idea what was happening to her, where she was going, or what was happening. And if she had just gone to, like, New York or something, like, who cares about, like, you know, visa? She's not a U.S. citizen. Right. Whatever. It's a stupid movie. We don't care.
At least then there's a time difference.
Then there's a serious time difference. And, like, it's, like, 2006 when this movie comes out. Like, you probably have, like, international minutes on the phone or something. Like, then I feel like that makes... The complete estrangement. She has no idea about her father's, like, gambling debts or any problems with the restaurant.
Yeah.
I just felt like that would have made so much more sense. And it just made me mad. The whole movie.
I will say that family dysfunction knows no bounds.
Like, this is true. But I also, it's mostly, like, how easy that would have been to solve and how many questions it raised for me. Easy to solve in the movie, not easy to solve family problems. Those are never easy to solve.
Oh, no, but I mean, like, I'm just trying to make the point that it's, like, there are families who are, like, if you're not going to call, then I'm not going to call. So it's, like, you could be totally estranged like that, even if you're, like, an hour away.
But they said we called a few times a year, and that's the only time we heard from you. So we know they were talking on the phone a few times a year. I just couldn't take it seriously anytime they were, like, and then you left. They made such a big deal about how she left and she abandoned us. And it's like, she was a 90-minute flight away. It just made me mad.
I respect.
Thank you. I don't know why I'm willing to die on this hill. I think it was partially because they said, like, four times before they even said where she lived that she left. Yeah. And then she went so far away or something. Yeah. And I was like, and then they were like, so sis, how's London? And I was like, fucking London. You didn't even leave, like, the landmass.
Fair. I just think, like, and it's like, well, if you cared, you'd be here. Like, if you wanted to know,
that's funny.
You'd still live here. So.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, checks out.
That is fair. That's fair. Yeah. I don't remember the way they said it, but, like, that's, like, understandable the way you explained it just now. And if they had just shown, like, how unreasonable they were being. But every single person in this movie acts like that's a completely valid response to someone, like, moving a 90-minute flight away.
again, like, it shouldn't be up to my personal lived experience for you to understand the context of this movie. Like,
good point. Thank you. We got there in the end.
We got there. Who knows how much of that I can keep?
We just don't know. God. Up to you, Queen. Yeah. All respect.
Families be crazy.
Families are crazy. Can I say how this movie opens? Because that part was really funny to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So it starts with this, like, Nina and her dad when Nina's a kid. And he's like, no matter what the recipe says, always follow your heart. And I was like, I want to set myself on fire immediately. Like, you're allowed to say that, but you're, like, to lead with that.
In the first, like, 5 seconds, it's like, In the first
5 seconds, it's like, okay. At least they're honest and upfront about what kind of movie this is going to be. But also, I was like, fuck.
No.
And then we're told it's, like, Nina's dad's funeral. And the voiceover of the guy conducting the service says he was a loving father to all of his children, especially his Nina, out of sight, but never out of her father's heart. So he had a favorite kid? What is happening? This is, again, in the first, like, minute and a half of the movie.
So funny.
And then this is what they lead with, too, is that same guy, I think, talking about how Nina's father would say, Nina will come home soon. Nina will come home, and then I will be in heaven. And it cuts to his picture on the casket. Hello? That was crass. That was crass to me. And then it's like Nina's like late to the funeral.
I just love that was crass to me.
It was. It's like, and then I'll be in heaven, and it's like bong, and it's like he's dead. It's like, okay, I fucking get it. He's in heaven.
It was like the dead dad version of like, isn't this a cute puppy? Too bad it was hit by a car.
Yeah, exactly. And Nina's like late to the funeral. Like she's running in like anime, like toast in her mouth. Like, sorry, I'm late to my father's funeral. Sorry. And then she like leaves, everyone leaves the service or whatever, the funeral. And the camera slowly pans up and we see her father's ghost on the roof of the building.
Yeah. Yeah. And he comes back around like a couple times. There were times I was like, when I first saw him, like, okay, here we go. But like, I thought it was kind of sweet when he was watching TV with his wife. Like, there were moments where he'd show up, and fine. I was like, yeah, it's like a nice idea. But what really killed me is when he showed up in the finale.
Did he?
Did you see
it? When was that?
Oh my God. So they're at the cooking competition, which, fuck the cooking competition, whole sequence.
Yeah.
So terribly paced. Like, I feel like movies just need to learn that you can't have a cooking competition in a movie because it's just like, it's always going to look weird. It doesn't matter how much money you have, it's always going to look weird.
The food looked so good, though.
I was so fucking hungry.
Angry and hungry. Exactly.
Dude, when I come visit in 2 weeks, we have to get Indian food at Kanishka.
Oh my God, absolutely.
Because there's no good Indian place in the town that I live. And it's like, actually, I just have to make it myself. And it's not going to be as good, but it's going to be what happens.
My sincerest condolences.
Thank you. Yeah, so in the middle of the broadcast, Lisa decides that she can't, like, be a secret. Like, they can't date in secret anymore. Like, she just can't take it. And she's like,
they always decide this at the most inopportune moment.
And it's like, it's never like a conversation of like, hey, I feel, and I get that this is a movie. Listen, I understand this is a movie. I just still feel this way because it's so dramatically cheap to be like, actually, fuck this. I can't do this anymore. Instead of being like, I just don't understand why you can't like listen to me that I'm having trouble with this. And like, I guess we just have to part ways because there's still like dramatic tension there.
Yeah, dude. And also, like, there's so many ways to do that are, like, you can still see both people's sides. But the way they did it in this movie was Sanjay, like, comes up and, like, negs Lisa. And it's like, I wouldn't count on her ever, like, loving you, basically. Yeah,
she runs away.
Because she left me at the altar. And Lisa, like, they're in the middle. They're actively cooking. Lisa and Nina are. And Lisa turns to Nina live on television. They can't hear what they're saying. And goes, kiss me. When she's not out, Nina's not out to her parents, to anyone in the entire world. And Lisa's like, this is the fucking line in the sand. If you don't kiss me on live television and out yourself to everyone in the nation, then we're over, basically.
Yeah.
And she's like so accusing about it, too.
Cool ultimatum, Lisa.
I know. And of course, Nina like is like, no. And then Lisa huffs off. It just pissed me off so bad. And you could have had some other dramatic way of doing that. Like, maybe Nina was just, like, you know, in the process of grieving her dad. And then Lisa, like, doesn't know that she was, like, feeling so sad, and then comes over and is like, this is my fucking ultimatum. But they're both, like, at their worst emotional states. Yeah. So then naturally they would, like, just bounce off each other. But instead it was this horrible, stupid way.
Yeah. And can I say two things? I do want to finish explaining the final sequence, but, like...
Oh, yeah, sorry.
No, you're good. I love, this is going to sound really weird, I love movies about grief. Some of my favorite movies are movies about grief and, like, handling death. And I, like, forgot that I was, like, kind of excited about this when this started, because I thought it was going to be about her dealing with the loss of her dad at all. And it just wasn't.
Not at all.
It's like, they really could have given her some other reason to come back, because this was, like, more about her relationship with the restaurant than with her dad. In my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree.
But so Lisa storms off and Nina goes after her and they just leave all the food.
It's just like, and the, is it burning?
And
sorry.
The pacing of this is so weird because Nina runs off and then the mom comes out a bit later. She's like outside near a river and she comes with a jacket and they have a full conversation. And there's just like no sense of urgency that like, yeah. The food is burning. The competition is being lost. Like, what is happening? So she has a conversation with her mom. Her mom's like, I know you're gay. It's fine. Just go get your girl. So her and Lisa, like, don't even say anything. I think they just, like...
stare into each other's eyes meaningfully.
Yeah. Run back in. But at some point after Nina runs off and before she comes back, the ghost of the dad is, like, moving the food in the pans. And that's the justification of why it didn't, like, burn or be ruined when they were off having their domestic.
Having a domestic. As far as that goes, I'm not so mad about that for some reason.
I just thought it was, like, come on, man.
Yeah.
I just, like, it was, like, it felt like an excuse for how sedately they paced this, like.
That's fair. Yeah.
Competition is interrupted. The competition where the whole restaurant's survival is riding on her winning this. And they're going to, like, lackadaisically be showing that Nina's already leaning against a thing. And her mom comes up and gives her a jacket. Yeah. And they have a really heartfelt conversation. And then she's going to go get Lisa. And she's just going to take Lisa
No fucking
in.
Urgency it's whatsoever.
Like, you have food cooking!
Yeah, you're right. If they had just been, like, cooking as practice for the competition, and then, like, everyone left the room for a second, and then you, like, saw her dad, like, the ghost, like, stirring stuff, that would have been fine and, like, kind of cute. But, like, not right now. Not now!
You're right. It is cute. I'm being a hater. But it's, like,
No,
just,
it's fair.
It was, like, and then she's gonna win because the chemistry
Because it
great.
Has love. But they call it chemistry. And... that's my least favorite scene with the ghost dad in it that I didn't black out for, apparently, because I totally didn't notice.
Also, wait, sorry. Just really quickly.
Oh, yeah. No, tell me.
They have, like, live camera footage streaming to the nation. They didn't notice a pot, like, a spoon levitating.
We just got actual footage proof of ghosts, and no one in the audience is like, is that spatula just stirring of its own volition?
The live studio audience is just like too enthralled by Sanjay's chin strap to even notice.
Exactly.
Okay, sorry.
Bad ghost scene was when Nina and her little sister are talking, and I honestly forgot the entire first bit of this scene, but it ends with Nina crying on her sister's shoulder about how she's basically like, I can't believe he left us, like that he would do this to us. Like, you know, grief turning to anger, understandable.
Yeah.
And the camera slowly pans out, and in the very tiniest sliver of the shot to the left is you can just barely see her dad looking sad as a ghost out of frame a little bit. Why do that? It looks like he's like, I know it's just that he's like sad he can't be with her. Yeah. But in the context of her being angry and grief, it looks like a warning about not hurting your dead loved one's feelings. Because they're sitting there. It was so weird to me.
That's funny. That's a really funny way to see it.
Thank you.
I guess I took it more as like, I know it's hard, but you should be comforted by the fact that they're not really gone.
It's true. And I would have taken it that way in almost any other context. But her being like to her sister, like, why would he do this? I can't believe he would do this to us. Like, like angry. Right. It was just weird that he was just like sitting there in a sofa, like looking sadly into the middle distance. Like it looked like he felt bad that they were mad at him and not that he was dead. It just, something about it was wrong.
See, the problem with visual mediums is that they're so fucking potent.
Yes, true.
It's hard.
Sometimes this happens.
Sometimes this happens. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just remembered something else as I was looking at my notes. Can I tell you? Yeah. When Nina goes to where the service is being held after the funeral of her dad very early in the movie, mm-hmm. we sort of cut to the kitchen where people are making food for everyone else. Mm-hmm. And we see these two people we don't know talking about how Nina's back. She was gone such a long time. And one of them's like, she was gone such a long time. And then another person immediately says, do you think she's, you know, what?
I was so confused by that, but I genuinely think they were wondering if she's single.
I admit that would make more sense, but the way they said it read 100% as, do you think she's gay to me?
I think the person writing this thought they were being really clever by keeping that ambiguity, but I would argue it's just bad.
I completely agree. I think you're so right. Because, like... me talking to the person who made this movie. Why would anyone leave out the word single as like a thing to gesture to and not say out loud? You will only do that about being gay or some other thing that people think is like shameful somehow.
Actually taboo.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just
also,
it's weird.
Do you know anything about this director? Because I do.
No.
It like boggles the fucking mind. I'm going to blow your mind right now.
I'm so... okay.
The director, I didn't look up how to say her name.
Oh.
Shit. Oh. Hold on. I'm Googling it really quick.
Can I tell you a funny anecdote about one of the producers?
Yes. Tell me.
So this movie, people hated this movie. It has a 16% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was atrocious. Like, I can't believe I didn't know going into this. Like, I went in totally blind being like, oh, I bet this is like a beloved, you know, like... you know, people are given scraps of representation. So it's like, you know, a cute film that was important. Yeah. People hated this.
I actually caught a glimpse of Rotten Tomatoes as I was trying to find where to watch this movie. So I knew going in that it was not going to be a romp, but I thought maybe it would be fun bad.
Yeah. Which, yeah, yeah.
Occasionally was.
One of the producers, Chris Atkins, said it was the worst film that I or anyone else has produced.
Oh.
Which I think is fucking rich coming from a guy who produced a Tom Green film called Bob the Butler. Like, I don't think that that is true, and this is maybe just racist and or homophobic.
What is Tom Green?
Oh, my God. He's like this gross-out juvenile comedian from the early 2000s.
Googling it.
He did Freddy Got Fingered.
Oh, that sounds familiar and not in a good way.
He's actually the worst.
Yeah, no thanks. Yeah, this movie's really bad, but it's not like, it's not that serious, Chris What's-His-Face,
no.
Who was the producer.
I love how the wiki was also kind of like, fuck this guy, because the movie was made partly with UK Film Council, like, funds. Chris Atkins said it was a waste of public money. This was somewhat ironic, as in July 2016, Atkins was jailed for 5 years for defrauding HMRC in a film finance tax scam.
Oh my god, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Nothing hits like a Wikipedia burn.
Oh, so true. There's nothing more severe and damaging. Yeah, fuck that guy, honestly.
Fuck that
guy. That's so fucking rich.
Isn't that funny?
Dude, I feel like if you say something that hypocritical, you should just burst into flames. It shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah.
That's so funny, though.
But tell me about the director. Blow my mind.
I will. Okay. The director, Pratibha Parmar, is a British writer and filmmaker. I stole this from Wikipedia, just so you know. But this is all thank you to Wikipedia.
This podcast is just us shooting the shit and, like, defrauding
reading
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia to each other. Exactly.
Reading this Wikipedia podcast... to your best friend can be a podcast.
Yes. This podcast would not exist without our lovely patrons, and also 95% thank you to Wikipedia. She's primarily known actually for like feminist documentaries.
Yeah, I saw she did an Alice Wolfe documentary.
Alice Walker.
Alice Walker. Sorry, I just read a thing about a Wolfe Award. I have goo for brain.
I was like, I don't know who Alice Wolfe is, but I know she did one about Alice Walker.
My brain is like, I know a W award. Wolfe.
Yeah. Let me give it to you. And she made one about Andrea Dworkin. Mm. And she made a film in 1991 about a film called Kush. It's K-H-U-S-H. I don't know how to pronounce that, but which examined South Asian lesbians and gay men in the UK and India.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. It seems like the majority of her work is about like feminism and queer studies.
Yeah.
And she seems like she did like cool work. But this is the only movie that this director ever made.
Oh my God.
So it's so strange. And it's like in the middle of all of her other like documentary stuff. So it's very strange to me that this person would make apparently great, like they're like, you know, like sort of broadly acclaimed, like people who watch them think that they're good.
Yeah.
Documentaries about feminist and queer studies topics. And then out of apparently nowhere, make this extremely bad movie and then go right back to feminist documentaries. I don't know. It was just, it was very interesting to me. I just would love to know more about this. And maybe I just should have Googled it more. But after, like, I Googled all this about the director, like, like maybe a quarter of the way into the movie, just out of curiosity. And then by the end, I had no more interest in knowing anything about this movie.
I also think, to be fair, like, not many press junket movies, like, interviews would be like, so why would you make this film?
Yes, it's true.
A little too accusatory.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really interesting. My initial reaction is that this is kind of like the guy who made Boy Meets Girl, where it's like, so no one else is going to make a silly rom-com about this, like, group of people. I guess I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'm a filmmaker. And this one makes a lot more sense because she actually is a Southeast Asian woman.
Yes, yeah. That's true. Okay, that does, that seems... Yeah.
But it's still so like, and that's so I also did not do any research, but the comment from Chris Atkins, hater in charge, saying this was partially funded by the UK Film Council also makes me believe that it's like, they were like, we should have a film about, you know, Southeast Asian LGBT people. And if we can get money from, you know, public works to do this,
I don't know.
Fuck it. Let's do it. And then
let's do it.
Terrible, because I'd never made a movie or a rom-com before.
Yes, that, see, yeah. And I'm gonna take back a little bit what I said. You're allowed to do all kinds of weird shit. You can make documentaries for the first 50 years and then make one weird movie that has nothing to do with anything else you ever did. That's totally fine and allowed.
Go off, queen.
It just, like, it was just a little strange to me. This movie in particular.
Yeah. I think it's also a good example of, like, you could just gotta fucking go for it. Like, let the mentality of how hard can it be, like, carry you through. But sometimes we do find out that it actually is pretty fucking hard.
Yeah, that's true. It's like those people who always say in comments, like, my toxic trait is thinking I could do this to some extremely difficult craft that someone else is doing.
Yes.
You need to stop doing that if you're doing that, just so you know, because the people making that can read it and they hate you with all of their might. Like, or maybe that's just me on their behalf and they're not actually reading into it that much. But if I were making an extremely difficult craft on TikTok or something and all of the comments were like, my toxic trait is thinking I could do this. That's just saying that doesn't look that hard.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you. It looks hard to me.
It is also, like, totally underestimating the level of skill that goes into that.
Yeah. Like just try and do it. And you should. And you should have a ball. And you should, like, practice and get good at it. Who cares? It's probably not actually that hard if you just, like, try at it. But it's mean to say, in my opinion.
It's also, like, a little devaluing of, like, the value of... It's devaluing of the value.
Yeah, I'm always saying that. Thank God someone said that.
It diminishes the value of them having thought of it, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like, I could make a little clay statue, but I didn't think to, like, make this complicated thing. Like, it's...
Yeah. And I'm also talking about, like I've seen, like, TikToks of, like, complex, like, quilting shit that is actually, like, involves crazy math. And garbage. Yeah.
But so even it's like, did you think to make a koi jumping out of a pond in a quilt? No.
Yeah. No, like, you didn't. So maybe you could do that, but you, like, exactly like you're saying, you didn't, and someone else thought of it first. So,
And It's, I don't know. I think about that a lot of, like, how much easier it is to do something after someone has already, like, made a first stab at it.
Yeah.
Because even then you have, like, a roadmap or, like, something to iterate from instead of just, like, the first push.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. Talk your shit, queen.
Yeah. Go off. Do whatever you want. But also why? Yeah. A little bit why, but not really. Do what you want. Can I read you funny things critics said?
Yeah. Can I just say one thing?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That, to me, actually really makes me feel better about saying that this movie was poorly directed. Because this director hadn't worked with actors before, to our knowledge.
Yes.
So that makes a lot of sense. Like, even the woman who plays Lisa, Laura Frazier, her performance really stood out to me and how bad it was.
How so?
She was just, like, mugging a lot. Like, she was doing very over-the-top, like, theatrical, as in, like, playing to the back row, like, Broadway.
Oh,
like,
no.
Like, in that scene where she was dancing with Carrie at the club and, like, seeing Nina with Sanjay. Like, she's making these, like, so comically over-the-top, like, reactions to seeing this being, like, hurt and confused. And it was just, like, so overdone. And then, come to find out at the end of the film, I'm on IMDb, she was the woman in A Knight's Tale.
What?
Yeah! Laura Frazier was a good fine in that? Actor. Yeah, she was great. She was the blacksmith woman.
Oh, my God!
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Just goes to show you that movies are a collaboration.
True. For better and for worse.
Yeah.
She was in Breaking Bad?
Oh, really?
And Better Call Saul? I have not seen her in Better Call Saul yet. I'm watching Better Call Saul at this moment.
I thought we were recording.
I'm watching it right at the same time.
Be smarter.
No, I liked it. That was a good one.
It wasn't. Thank you.
No, it was. Hold on. Actually, can I tell you an equivalent one I just told?
Yeah.
My dad and I were watching football. Football was on, and I was looking at my phone while my dad was watching football. But at one point, one of the announcers said, you know, he's got all the qualities that a Raven should. Like, and he meant, like, the Ravens, the football team. And
a beak.
I go, feathers, a beak. Funny little feet.
It's incredible. A classic. Incredible.
Thank you.
Oh, no, you should tell me what critics had to say, because I have one fun tidbit to end this on, and then I have nothing else to say. So
I love that. Okay, great.
Hit me.
I'm going for it. So Walter V. Diego of San Francisco Chronicle said, a lightweight and sentimental exercise that succeeds at little, except maybe inspiring the viewer to go out and find a decent curry.
Stop.
Which is very true and exactly how I felt.
Literally. Oh, my God.
Another one is Frank Scheck of The Hollywood Reporter. This combination of melodrama, comedy, music, and romance eventually falls under the weight of its endlessly stereotypical characters, dialogue, and situations.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Also, the music in this was so weird.
Was it?
It felt like they just, like, hired a person to make, like, generic song for X kind of scene.
Oh, funny.
And, like, that's either really...
I did not even register it.
It was just bizarre. It felt like, I don't know, either that's a huge insult to the person who actually just made that music earnestly, or they really did just, like, go to, like, a royalty-free, like, catalog and get, like, I'm dancing in a club, dancing, house music.
Oh, yeah. Cutting. Actually, now that you mention it, I genuinely could not tell you what scene this was in, but there was one part where the music was audibly off key. I felt like genuinely there, not the whole time, just a little bit where I was like, why are we going for like discordant, like a little bit creepy? And also we're at the club. I actually don't remember if it's during the club scene, but, and then I immediately forgot. So I would have never thought of it again unless you just know. But
so
I was like,
funny.
Is this off key or am I insane? And then I forgot instantly.
Am I fucking losing it?
Yeah. Okay, I have one last critics thing. Kyle Smith of the New York Post says, this movie's heart is in the right place, which is one way of saying it's terrible.
Kyle!
That got me so good. I really liked it. That's how I feel about all movies that are, like, primarily inspiration porn.
Yeah.
Its heart was in the right place, and I would like to set the whole thing on fire.
It's... It is a shame. Like, again, this should have been really fun. And it just wasn't. Like, all the elements were there. It was technically... No.
But it didn't have chemistry.
The chemistry was off, though. Like, actually.
Yeah, it was, though. It was.
Nina and Lisa were giving, like, nothing. There was no tension.
Nothing at all. And also, I don't even think they kissed for an hour into the movie.
Yeah.
This is a gay movie with very little gay shit happening in it. And it doesn't have to be, like, them having sex or them making out or anything. Like, if that's just not the kind of movie you want to make.
Yeah.
But I'd appreciate it if it was more romantic for a larger percentage of the movie when that's what it is a rom-com.
You know, again, it comes down to, like, chemistry.
Chemistry.
Like, they technically had scenes of them, like, maybe flirting or spending time together and what sort of should have been scenes of them growing closer. And there was just, like, no, like, it was very flat. They weren't.
It's true.
You're right. There was no romance. It was crazy.
Yeah. And again, it's hard to say, like, you know, apparently Laura Fraser is a great actor in, like, other stuff. So probably not her fault. And what's her fucking name? Played Nina.
Shelley Kahn
is really good in Bridgerton, as far as I can remember.
Yeah.
So it's like, no shade to them. Sometimes I think they just might not have chemistry too. Like, actors, like, it's no one's fault. They just might not have chemistry.
Yeah.
Like, everyone keeps saying that too about that guy who's in that rom-com now with, fuck, what is her fucking name?
Sydney Sweeney.
Sydney Sweeney! How do you fucking know?
Because Instagram will not stop showing me her entire ass in that one stupid fucking commercial.
Well, it's that one. It's that movie. Apparently,
also,
like,
fuck that movie. I hate that movie. I'm never going to watch it. I think it's so, it's like such a, like, hollow circle jerk of, like, they're trying to make a rom-com out of, like, fanfic tropes. They're trying to do the publishing thing by just skipping to the movie. And it's like, why would they fake date if they hate each other? Like, it's just so, they're, like, trying to make it sexy and funny, but it's neither. Sorry.
Yeah, no,
I just hate this movie for no good God reason. Good God reason? It's no goddamn reason.
No God goddamn. Okay, really quick. What's that one Shakespeare play where they date even though they hate each other?
They date even though they hate each other. Is it As You Like It?
I can't remember. What's the one with Beatrice and Benedict?
Oh, yeah, As You Like It.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
As You Like It. It's based on As You Like It.
Shut the fuck up.
I know.
Shut the fuck up.
No, it is.
What if I jumped off a bridge?
As you were like, why would they date if they hate each other? I was like, oh my God, she doesn't know. She doesn't know. It's based on that Shakespeare play. She doesn't know.
Also, it's not, is it Much Ado About Nothing? I think it's Much Ado About Nothing. I always get those two mixed up because they have the worst.
Okay. Oh, it is. It's Much Ado About Nothing. Yeah. That's so funny to me.
So they took one of the best Shakespeare plays that's all about them being so intelligent and respecting each other for their intelligence despite not liking each other. And also, part of why they... Okay.
No, go off.
It's like, do they have that whole, like, other plot about a hero and her, like, trying to get married to the man that she loves and then, like, not being able to do it? And then, like, do they keep any of the actual drama?
I don't know.
So what I'm hearing is that maybe we should see if people want us to watch this for the bonus episode.
Yes! Oh my God, absolutely you should. Please, add it to the list.
Like, honestly.
Also, people on TikTok were complaining. This is the only way I found out, too, was on TikTok, was that they're not advertising it that as a Shakespeare adaptation at all.
No.
Which is why you didn't know and why I didn't know until someone else pointed it out. Because, and I think that's stupid, because people
really
love
stupid.
All of the other Shakespeare adaptation modern ones, like, that have come out, as far as I know. I only know, like, three of them, but they're all fun. And it's legit based on the Shakespeare. I thought it was just, like, we thought it'd be funny if they hated each other. Like, fanfic trope thing, like you said.
Yeah.
But apparently there's a sign in the movie that says, here's much to do with hate, but more to do with love, which is a William Shakespeare quote. So, like, it was on purpose and serious. Why aren't they advertising that?
It's also, it's like, they don't actually fake date.
No.
It's like the whole thing is that from other people hearing conversations, they think, like, Beatrice thinks Benedict is in love with her, and Benedict thinks Beatrice is in love with him. They're not like, let's make our exes jealous and pretend to be super into each other.
Both of them are, like, condescending to be nice to that one who's desperately in love with them.
Yeah. And, like, the main point of that play is that on the eve of Hero's wedding, she gets, like, disgraced in that someone thinks that they hear her having an affair with someone. So it's like her virginity is called into question, and the man that she loves, like, refuses to marry her because he's like, you're, like, ruined. Like, I can't be with you. Yeah. And then at this point, Beatrice and Benedict have, like, real recognizes real kind of relationship.
Yeah.
And he's like, what do I do for you? Like, how do I make this right? And Beatrice is like, you have to kill Claudio, who is his best friend, by the way.
Oh, shit.
So it's an amazing play. And, like, if you have any chance at all to watch the Publix adaptation of it, they did an all-black cast with Danielle Brooks and as Beatrice and Grantham Cole as Benedict. It fucks so hard. And I just want to know where the whole let's pretend to date to make people jealous. And also, there's a spider in my clothes, so I'm going to take off all my clothes.
Like, oh, stop. Do they do that?
Yeah. Why would you market it that way? Why would you lead with this is a stupid comedy instead of this, like, you know, one of the best Shakespeare plays with incredible drama and, like, an actual romance where the two people come to respect each other because there's no one else on their level? Like, yeah.
Not at all what's being advertised currently.
Sorry.
You know, the good news is we don't have to ask if anyone wants us to talk about this because we already did.
I might have to cut all of this because, like, I just...
Up to you, queen, but we should definitely add this actually to the Patreon because I would totally watch this movie and then talk about it with you. That would be so fun.
It would be really fun. And what a great excuse to read this play again. Because I, like, maybe I'm just showing my ass and that I haven't read this in, like, 4 years, but I genuinely don't understand where they get the fake dating from. Like, that's not...
Honestly, could just be, like, their easiest way to translate the, like, why are they together thing. I don't know.
I just...
We'll have to watch to find out.
Okay. It's fine. Anyway, the fun note I wanted to end this on.
Yes, do tell.
Do you remember Nina's top going to the club?
Not at all.
It was like this silky, kind of like baby doll, like too cute. Long, covered the butt, kind of like white, silky, tank, satiny, whatever.
Sorry, Lisa or Nina?
Nina.
Nina, okay.
Lisa had the worst top at the club.
Did she?
It was like this, like, one shoulder, like, mid-tens workout gear shirt. Like, it was like,
oh girl, no, like a swoop
down the shoulder, and then it had a strap on the side where it swooped on the shoulder.
I wanted one of those so bad when I was 12 years old.
Right? It would have been the coolest shirt for middle school, but it was the club in 2006.
The club, though.
But Nina's top, if we were going to, like, formalize the Urban Dictionary, which we shouldn't, but if we were to, and we were going to include pictures for some definitions, that top is the, like, definition of a going out top.
Really?
Early 2000s.
Love that.
Like, it's just a frivolous, ridiculous top that you can wear with nothing else. Like, it is to wear with jeans at an event.
Yes. Yes. Ugh. I loved when we did that, though.
Right?
In college, that was all I had, was, like, jeans and a going out top. Urban Outfitters still has, like, a going out top section.
You're kidding.
Not kidding.
That is so funny.
I would know. The frequent visitor.
It's hard, man. You can take the girl out of 2010, but you can't take the
2010 out of the girl. So true.
Oh, my God. We talked about this movie for, like, an hour and a half.
Oh, my God. How did we even? I'm not kidding. I'm pretty sure the last 15 minutes have been entirely shitting around with other crap we talked about.
Yeah. Like, we used to be so good at not getting off topic, but now it's just, I think, partly because we live far away and haven't balder dated in a while.
True. We're just getting it all out of our system right now. Right. And I've never, ever been able to be like, this is a thought for another time. No. Like, I'm always just like, oh, my God, speaking of nothing at all, have you heard of that Sydney Sweeney movie?
It's the ADHD.
Very true.
We're just two ADHD
girl bosses.
Brain cells in a trench coat, yes-anding each other.
Yeah. Very true. And here I'm doing it again. You're so right, queen. God. I'll stop saying it when she stops being right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What am I going to not say?
Come on. Exactly.
Get freaking real, my guy.
Get real.
Okay. Well, this movie is on YouTube. So if you want to check it out, she'll be there.
It will be there. But you have to look up Delicia Celestiae's Danina instead of the real title, because it was only in not Spanish. What language is that?
I'm pretty sure it's Portuguese.
I think you're right. You can tell it's Portuguese, or I can usually sometimes tell if it's Portuguese, because it looks like Spanish, but I can't understand hardly a word of it.
Thank you for listening. I don't know how you do it, but I appreciate it.
We so appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.